Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 32. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Hell yeah, here we go. Hey, yeah! Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. God damn it. And we are coming to you live. Live? I mean, we're here.
Well, we're living, ain't we?
Right now, it's live from the Pier 1 Ponderosa Bonanza Steakhouse.
Wow. Now, it still says Pier 1 outside.
Yep.
But it is the Ponderosa Steakhouse.
It's up and running. We got a shipping container serving Ponderosa Steakhouse food and a shipping container serving Bonanza Steakhouse food. And both of the foods is from the Houstons down the street.
Right.
And we're in the middle of what we're calling, what they call in restaurant business, a soft opening.
That's right. We also created a special meal called Bananas for Bonanza Foster. It's a dessert.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so good.
Yeah, come get it.
You're going to love it. If you love bananas and Fosters, you're going to love it. Get on down here.
It's Australian for beer, mate.
Wait a minute.
Maybe we'll swap out the beer, but.
Well, it depends. You could get a virgin Bananas Foster. Or
it's not the alcohol I'm worried about. It's the Australian part. That's why I'm thinking maybe we do a Bananas for Bonanza Coors.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that Adolf Coors. It's a good man. Well.
Anyone named Adolf.
Yeah. How bad can they be? Well, here we are now. We're doing this. And by the way, I'm living here too. I recently, because my girlfriend escaped and it just turned into a world of troubles. People might remember, I met a girl named Loretta. She's a police officer and I had her up in the jerky room for a while. And then I came in and she wasn't there. And then within an hour, there's all police cars all over the place. And I just thought, man, I'm unlucky with love. But I threw everything I could into a bag and hopped on Megan Thee Stallion, the horse, and rode out here and set up a little cot for myself. Not bad.
No, some things are meant to be, and maybe it wasn't your relationship, but maybe it was to be your home / place of work.
Yeah, I like living above the store.
And the ground.
Yeah.
For once.
That's right. I did live underground for a long time. Hey, this is an unprecedented, I believe, episode of Bananas for Bonanza, in that, not only that, it is just you and me and not Amy Sleverson's, but also on top of, in addition to, nobody else wise.
Well, if you're listening to this episode on the regular, you'll know that last time Amy had a bit of a crisis of conscience.
She sure did. A crisis of faith and whatnot.
So we haven't heard from her in weeks.
And, right.
We hope to. We have every reason to assume she'll be back next time, but we don't know.
I don't know. She sort of, I will say when we wrapped up last time, she just kind of wordlessly wandered out into the street, and she didn't go anywhere near her car.
Her car is still outside.
It is. It's still there.
Uh-huh.
And she just went out, and she kicked off her shoes. I recall that. Yep. I went and collected her shoes for her, but they was in the middle of the street, and she just walked and walked until we couldn't see her no more.
Last thing I heard was through the trees, I couldn't see her no more, was eat, love, and fuck, pray.
Oh, my God. She said, eat, love, and fuck, pray.
Yeah.
Well, so we don't know where Amy Sleverson is. If you see her out there, you tell her that to come on back and rejoin us here. But I hope she's doing good.
By the way, in the name of Amy Sleverson, why not play around a fuck, marry, kill with eat, pray, love?
Oh.
Do that among yourselves.
So you pick three things.
Yeah.
And you got to eat one of them?
Uh-huh.
What's the other one?
No, you got to... fuck one, you got to marry one, you got to kill one.
Oh, okay. But you don't got to eat, love, or pray any of
no,
them?
No, but you got to choose. You got to fuck, see what marry, you're or kill, eat, pray, or love.
Oh, okay. Eat, pray, and love are the things. And I have to choose one of them to fuck and one of them to marry and one of them to kill. Okay, I can do that.
I think I can too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to. Wait a minute. No, I'm a little confused.
I'll give you mine first. To help
okay,
you.
All right.
I'd marry love just because... it's love.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be in love.
Sure, you got to be in love.
I'd fuck eat.
Uh-huh.
Because that's a passionate, lustful, sensory experience.
Yeah, okay.
And I'd kill prey.
Yeah, there you go. You got to kill prey.
Maybe it's a literal prey, and I'm the predator. I got to kill it.
All right, good. That was good. I was confused, but now I'm not confused. You helped me there. I'm going to do the same as you, and you folks at home, you can do it too. It's a fun game. All right. Well... it's just two of us, and we're talking about, you know what we're talking about? I can't believe it. This is the last episode of season one of Bonanza.
And what an episode.
Oh, man, it really is. It's a hell of a one.
I think it's my favorite episode of Bonanza I've seen thus far. Now, I've seen every episode.
Sure.
In this watch.
In this watch. It's real good. It's a real good episode.
It's solid. It's man. Just... tension.
It's got everything. Here, I made a list of all the things that's in this. Well, first, let me see what I say. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. You got your Dalton Wilcox. You already... that's me. I'm Dalton Wilcox, goddammit. And Mutt Taylor is here.
Goddammit.
Yep, goddammit. And we're talking about Season 1, Episode 32, Death at Dawn. And this episode, as we were saying, has everything. It has a woman. It has gunfire. It has a giggling villain. It's got
two
giggling villains.
Yeah.
Who you talking about, McNeil and
Farmer Perkins.
They're both giggling. Yeah, that's true. And it's got a courtroom drama, and it is the second occurrence of a Cartwright with a noose around his neck. This happened once before.
Wow, you're right.
Remember that was the episode with Vic Morrow. We had two Cartwrights with nooses around their necks.
Yeah.
They've had some close calls. Well, this is a real good one. You know, it's only taken us, the first time we did a Bananas for Bonanza, I believe it was 2018. And now here it is 2022. It's only taken us the 4 years to do the first season of the show.
Okay, so let's extrapolate that out. How many seasons do we got?
Unfortunately, Bonanza only made 14 seasons.
Okay, so 14 times 4, I can't do that on my hand, even if I am a master of Chisholm Bop. Let's see here.
Master what did you say?
Ain't you remember Chisholm Bop?
No, I don't.
That was a type of calculation you could do on your hands, and Fred McMurray was kind of the spokesman of it.
Really?
Sure.
Okay.
You don't remember that.
I don't remember that. It doesn't even ring the faintest bell. Fred McMurray does.
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you how many years it's going to take us to finish this.
Okay.
Total.
If we take 4 years to do one season of Bonanza, we will... unfortunately, wrap up the whole enterprise in how many years?
52 years from now, 56 years total. So it'll be 2074.
Too soon, man.
I don't know what we're going to do with the rest of our, that one day left of our life.
How old are we going to be? Well, I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But we can definitely make it. You know, what with the state of science and all that.
Right, right.
Sure,
right.
Sure. Even if I'm a brain in a goddamn jar. Uh-huh. I don't want to be a brain in a jar. That's like a monster.
No, yeah, you can't do that.
As much as I hate a Frankenstein, if the only way to finish watching every episode of Bonanza for this podcast is to have my brain put in the body of a younger person with a whole bunch of different arms and legs from different people.
Sure.
If that's the only way to do it, I would do it.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
Some things are bigger than other things.
Some things are bigger than other things. That's goddamn.
That's how the saying goes.
True. That's true. Good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't believe we've come to the end of season one. And as you say, it was a real good one. And should we just get into some of the things I learned about the original air date of this show? All right, let's get into it. These are some fun facts about when this episode aired. It aired on April 30th, 1960. Understand?
We're out of the 50s here. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Been okay. There for a while now. Now you got, what is it? On the country music charts, it's He'll Have to Go by Jim Reeves is hanging on. That's going to be on there for quite a while.
Yeah.
So, but over there on the main charts where it's been, The Theme from A Summer Place by Percy Faith for 9 goddamn weeks. It is now a new song. Can you believe it?
Oh, my God.
Finally, who was it that toppled off The Theme from The Summer Place? It was Stuck on You by Elvis Presley.
Wow.
Stuck on You. You know that song?
Stuck on You.
That's a
got
different
a feeling
one.
Down feeling deep in my heart, and it's stuck on you.
That's a different one. That's a whole different song. This is I'm Stuck on You. A bit boobadoo. Now, this is a song about how he loves somebody so much that no matter what she does, she will never get away from him, no matter how hard. I wish I could say the same about Loretta, goddammit.
Oh, friend, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
She escaped, man, went out the goddamn window.
Oh, that's too bad.
Here's some of the lyrics from Stuck on You. It says, hide in the kitchen, hide in the hall, ain't gonna do you no good at all, because once I catch you and the kissing starts, a team of wild horses couldn't tear us apart. Tried to take a tiger from his daddy's side. That's how love is going to keep us tied.
Now, that song ages pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it's a beautiful sentiment.
Yeah, holds up.
Yeah. There's no place you can hide because he's going to find you and start kissing you. And then that's it. It's going to be like trying to steal a tiger from his... Although, I'll tell you what. I don't know that it would be so hard to steal a baby tiger from his father.
The mother,
yes.
I question, too, if this woman shouldn't try hiding somewhere outside the house. The kitchen and the hall, that doesn't seem... There's not a lot of hiding places in a hall, maybe one closet.
No, you're
Why
right.
Why not try another city over?
These are both bad hiding places.
Yeah.
Kitchen. Where are you going to hide in the kitchen? You're going to scrunch yourself down into a cabinet or something like that?
Under the table?
Yeah, under the little kitchen table. Bad hiding place.
Maybe she paints herself up like a refrigerator.
I suppose, but then he's not going to notice there's two refrigerators.
Well, she'd have to get rid of one.
All right, so she decides, I've had it with this man.
Uh-huh.
She moves the existing refrigerator out of the kitchen. She paints herself up to look like one, and she stands where the other one was.
Yep.
I guess it could work.
Sure.
But I might rather to go outside the house. As long as you're going outside the house anyway with the old refrigerator.
Sure.
Keep going.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's what
Don't I hide mean. In the refrigerator because we know.
What happens when you hide in the refrigerator?
Well, you get locked in there and you die.
Oh, you do?
For sure. That was the big public service campaigns of all the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Is that why people used to, when they threw out a refrigerator, took off the door?
Yeah, it's exactly right.
You're kidding me.
There's a whole episode of Punky Brewster about it.
I used to go around and reattach those doors all the time because I thought... Yeah, I thought they're just making extra work for the garbage man now. He's got to take two trips from the curb.
You're right.
I felt bad for the garbage man. I can't tell you the number of refrigerator doors I screwed back on.
I'll never understand how Indiana Jones got out of that refrigerator after he got caught in that nuclear blast.
Which one was that?
Indiana Jones 4, The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, nobody saw that one.
I did, friend.
You did?
Multiple times.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Wowie. Hey, guess what?
What?
The original Indiana Jones, that first one?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Uh-huh.
En Busca del Arca Perdida.
Doesn't hold up great.
Come on.
I'm telling you.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you.
What are you talking about?
Well, we'll talk about it later. It's outside of our purview. There's some problem. Well, go ahead. Watch it tonight. How about that?
I watch it every night.
Oh, all right.
Well, friend, you should check out Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and tell me what you think of that one.
You know what? I recently tried.
You did?
And that movie begins with about a 180-minute musical number.
Yeah, anything goes in Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was truly shocked that they asked people, young people, to watch that.
I was one of them young people. That movie came out on my birthday, and I loved every second of it.
You did?
Still do. I still love that opening. That's a James Bond cold opening right there.
Okay. I'll just tell you, I says, all right, I'm going to watch the second one now. Now, I was stunned. I just said, I don't understand what's happening.
How far did you get?
I think I got about 160 minutes into that 180-minute song. I says, to hell with this. Well, all right. This past podcast is not Bananas for Indiana Jones movies. That's another one we could do, but we ain't. We're talking about Stuck on You. He's playing probably in the background. What else happened? April 30th, 1960, the National Barn Dance radio show aired for the last time.
Oh.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Wow.
That was a radio show that had lots of country music and business like that. Now, wait a minute now. I wanted to play you a clip of something from one of the most famous things from the National Barn Dance radio show was it launched the careers of, damn it, of Homer and Jethro, who was a, you know Homer and Jethro? They was a comedy country music act.
Oh, was they ever on Hee Haw?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm going to play you a little clip just to give you an idea of how hilarious these guys were.
Okay.
Homer and Jethro, man, oh man. They'd go out there, the two of them, with a couple of guitars and sing songs. And damn if this ain't just the funniest goddamn lyric. Hang on here. One, two.
I'll play us a little something.
Oh, all right.
Ooh, that's sour. Oh, my harmonica's all stuck up.
Oh, it is?
You all set?
Yep, I'm all set. That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Let me make sure my volume is on and ready to go. Here we go. This is Homer and Jethro. This is just a punchline. I'm just going to play you a punchline. One of their funny songs.
No setup, huh?
No, you'll get it. Here it comes.
How much is that hound dog in the winter? With a basketball nose on his face. You know what a basketball nose is. It dribbles all over the place.
A basketball nose.
Wow.
It dribbles all over the place.
Oh,
that's how that song ends. That's funny as hell, man. Oh, man, I tell you what. A basketball nose.
I didn't expect them two fellows to be dressed in tuxedos.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is from a clip of a show. I'll play you something else from The History of Country Music, Part 2.
Oh, the Ken Burns documentary?
No, sir. This is a show hosted by Johnny Cash. It must have been on television in a long time ago. Oh, 1971 is when it was on.
Wow.
And I will play you the beginning of this because this is a section of Johnny Cash's History of Country Music television special where he's talking about comedy and country music, and you've never seen a more serious discussion of comedy in your life. Here you go.
Another important part of the country music story is country humor. From the earliest days, comedy has played a big part in any country music show. Uncle Dave Macon was one of the first stars of the Grand Ole Opry in the 20s and 30s. Grandpa Jones has been a favorite through the years. String Bean. Let's not forget these two, Homer and Jethro.
Oh, wow. This is that period when Johnny Cash was dressing like a straight-up Victorian.
That is the most joyless discussion of humor I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Don't forget String Bean.
Who left this earth 20 years ago.
But Homer and Jethro, there's the most popular, I guess. He says them last. Anyway, that's a damn fine song. Funny. Yeah, well, what else we got here? Oh, celebrity birthdays. Oh, please don't eat the daisies. It's still the number one movie. Hang on there. But born on this day was a fellow by the name of David Miscavige.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, Mr. Scientology himself.
Yeah, I reckon, I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe him. I think he might be the Pope of a tax fraud scheme.
That pretty much sums it up.
Okay.
He's basically, since L. Ron Hubbard left, been running things, right?
He's the boss of a commercial real estate holding concern that doesn't have to pay taxes, because at a certain point, after you spent tens of thousands of dollars, you'd say you believe in space aliens.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so that's, he was born on April 30th, 1960, very same day this episode of Bonanza aired.
Okay.
Yep. Happy birthday, David Miscavige.
You've come a long way, baby.
I'll tell you. Is he, we haven't heard from him in a little while.
I do believe he's in some kind of hiding.
Yeah.
Well, his wife's disappeared.
Oh, that's right. His wife has, yeah, she has vanished. Oh, well. Good luck to them both. Well, okay.
Mainly her.
Mainly her. Oh, yeah. Brett, you can stop playing Stuck on You.
The Lionel Richie version.
What? Oh, no, damn it.
Oh, sorry.
Elvis Presley.
Okay.
That song, I'll bet you Shelly Miscavige thinks about that song quite often.
Stuck on You?
Yeah, you try to hide in the kitchen, hide in the hall.
Oh, boy, you got to be right.
Ain't going to do you no good at all. Wherever she is. All right. You want to hear some fun facts about this episode?
I'm living for them.
I did find some real fun facts. I'm going to tell you that right now.
All right.
We got Robert Middleton, who plays Sam Bryant in this episode. He's the bad man. He's the real bad man.
He's the head honcho bad man.
Head honcho bad man. He was in, he gets a special guest star. He gets that in the opening credits. Whenever I see that, I say, what did this person do to earn that? From all I can tell, he had a big part in the movie The Court Jester with Danny Kaye.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He may probably had a good agent, too. Was that movie around this time? That's probably how
it was just a little before.
Sure, sure.
He's also in a movie called Hellbent for Leather.
Oh, yeah. I heard of that.
You have?
Yeah. Well, I've heard that expression.
Hellbent for Leather?
Yeah.
I wish I knew what it meant. What? You know, Hellbent is like, I really want it.
Yeah.
And leather. Hellbent for Leather.
I mean, it does conjure up something.
It does, doesn't it? Then he was in another movie called Even Angels Eat Beans.
Good Lord.
Right?
That, when you paused after the word angels, I had a couple of options coming to my
head.
They couldn't have been farther from what you ended up saying.
I know what you mean.
Even angels eat beans.
Yes, they do. And the plot of this movie was a former ice cream man and a wrestler convince a well-known mobster to hire them. An ice cream man?
That doesn't have anything to do with the synopsis.
Well, that's right. I don't hear nothing about angels or beans.
You ever play Balderdash?
Oh, sure.
When they have fake movie plots, that must be in there. In Balderdash, where you get the title, Even Angels Eat Beans, and then you got to write up a fake description, because no one would choose that. That's a great red herring.
Oh, yeah. A former ice cream man, if you made it a former bean salesman, who drives a bean truck.
Right.
Let's just fix it right here. Fellow that drives a bean truck and an angel convince a well-known mobster to hire them.
There you go.
Now, how did they meet? They met when the angel came to get a helping of beans from the bean truck.
Because even
angels eat beans. Okay. Now we understand. Now you don't even need the mobster.
Or the movie.
Nope. Cut the whole movie. All right. We got Gregory Walcott playing Perkins, who is often referred to in this as Farmer Perkins.
Sure, sure.
He don't come across as a farming personality.
No. He comes across as a joker.
Yeah, he's a son of a bitch.
Yeah, he sure is.
He's murders a man in cold blood and then giggles about it the whole rest of the goddamned episode. He's had a distinguished career. He was in Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Who was he in that?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't get that far. But he was also in the movie Ed Wood. Remember that picture?
Yeah. So who was he in that movie?
Let's find it. In that movie, he was a prospective investor or something like that.
They threw him a bone.
But now I'm going to... Now I'll go
ahead. He wasn't Criswell, was he? No, he... Plan 9.
Gregory Walk. What am I doing? I want to go over to... You ever hear the Internet Movie Database?
Sure I have.
Dabadoo, Gregory Walcott. They called him Beautiful. Who was you in Plan 9 from Outer Space, you son of a bitch? Oh, well, the character's name was Jeff Trent, but I don't know who
I'm
that
no
was.
Closer to understanding. I'm glad I made you look that up.
It was good to know he had a name in it, though. Yep, Jeff Trent, Plan 9 from Outer Space. He was also in 4 different Clint Eastwood movies where Clint Eastwood beat the crap out of him.
Really?
Yeah, he was.
Ones we'd know?
Yeah. It was Every Which Way But Loose.
Oh, shit.
He played police officer.
Now, that's a movie I tried to watch recently and didn't get far myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That makes me sad. Why? Was it the orangutan?
That
was a good orangutan actor, as I recall.
Clyde.
Yeah.
The best. The finest.
Finest orangutan.
Arguably the finest orangutan actor that ever worked.
Oh, yeah. Amongst orangutans, he is considered their Meryl Streep, their Marlon Brando.
He has to be. He may be considered the only one. But
possibly.
I was watching it with Kaz, if you get my drift.
Okay.
And I was just very conscious of, this may be more nostalgia than good filmmaking while I'm watching this.
Oh.
I guess I just didn't get to enough Clyde stuff soon enough.
Yeah.
The Ruth Gordon will take you so far.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Yeah.
Ruth Gordon. Well, maybe I'll revisit it.
Maybe I should too. I feel kind of bad.
Yep. Thunderbolt and Lightfoot.
Oh, sure.
Joe Kidd. And then something called the Eiger Sanction. I never heard of it. You know that movie?
I know it well, friend.
E-I-G-R-E-I-G-E-R.
Yeah, they're talking about the Eiger Alp. The Alp. It's half a climbing movie.
Oh.
It's a great concept and a very problematic movie since. But
yeah.
He's got to climb the Eiger Mountain.
Clint Eastwood does.
With 2 other men, one of whom
he
knows wants to kill him, but he doesn't know which.
Oh, one of these guys has been sent here to kill me. I don't know which. And the other one, what about the other one? Where'd he come from?
Well, he's just a climber.
Okay.
I forget exactly. And they only get to the half section. But this goes towards my love, and I've made a whole list of all movies that have an article, adjective, spicy noun.
Okay, so the is your article.
Yeah.
Adjective. Which is the adjective?
Well,
because the sanction is a noun, isn't it?
No, sorry. It's a describe. It could be a noun. It could be an adjective, but it's describing the third subject word,
which
in itself is usually a $10 word.
Oh, I see.
So see if you can think of another movie that might fall in this.
Okay.
I've misled you. The third one doesn't have to be a $10 word. It could be something banal, but the two together create
A movie I think of when I see the Eiger Sanction is the Ipcress Files.
Exactly. That's Patient Zero right
Zero right there. Yeah. How about the French Connection?
That'll work, but there's the Anderson Tapes. There's Holcraft Covenant.
Uh-huh. The Andromeda Strain.
Exactly, friend. You got him.
Now I know what to do.
Anyway, check out my letterbox list. I got probably over 50 of those things on there.
What's a letterbox list?
Well, Letterboxd is a social media site.
I truly never heard of it.
Yeah, and it's great because it's nothing to do with Twitter or Instagram. All you do is log the movies you watched.
Oh, okay.
And you can write a review or just say, hey, I watched it. Or you can rate them, you can create lists, and people just comment, and it's all movie-based.
This sounds so much like we're doing an ad for this thing, so I'll just go ahead and, what's it called again?
Letterboxd.
Letterboxd is bullshit. Just to let you know, it ain't an ad. It's run by goddamned Nazis, sons of bitches.
We love it. Don't get us wrong. That's just to prove we're not doing an ad.
That's right.
Letterboxd killed multiple people.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. It runs on dead old grandmas.
Letterboxd is a pedophile.
Yep. That website is a goddamn pedophile.
Anyway, if you want to check it out, it's Letterboxd without an E at the end. It's XD, you know what I mean?
Oh, Letterboxd?
Yeah.
They put a D on there, but no E. Check it out. It's really great. And a pedophile. So just keep that in mind. All righty. What else? Gregory Walcott was in a two-parter of The Invisible Man. No, not The Invisible Man. The $6 Million Man.
Whoa.
And it was Sharks Part 1 and Sharks Part 2. And the plot is Steve Austin is aboard a sabotaged nuclear submarine when a court-martialed admiral and his daughter use sharks trained and controlled by technology to attempt to steal the sub. Gotta see that one.
That's like Day of the Dolphin.
Day of the Dolphin.
You ever seen that movie?
No, sir.
That's George C. Scott, directed by Mike Nichols, about weaponized dolphins that the military is going to use.
Really?
Sure.
It's like a dramatic Mr. Limpet. Yes. That's what it is. That's
exactly right.
The Incredible Mr. Limpet. Good movie. All right.
But Raiders isn't.
That's correct.
Okay.
Good. It's not just me. Look at the AFI 100. They put the Incredible Mr. Limpet way higher than the Raiders.
No way.
Just look at it. I think it's on Letterboxd. Morgan Woodward played Sheriff Biggs. And this fella, he was on, what was he on? He was on a bunch. Oh, he was on 19 episodes of Gunsmoke. I don't know what that is.
I believe he also busted Richard Nixon.
Morgan Woodward? Oh, yeah, he did with his fella, Charlie Bernstein. He played, he was on 8 Bonanzas. This is his first one. He played Sheriff Biggs. In season 2, he played Deputy Sheriff Rick Conley.
Oh, poor demotion.
Yeah, and a name change. And in season 11, he played Sheriff Clyde Morehouse.
Glad he's back to where he got to be.
Yeah, he only had to change his name 2 times to make that career trajectory. And what else? He was 55 episodes of Dallas, where he played a character named Punk Anderson.
What?
That's a good
name. And he must have been pretty up there, too, to be
55, I know.
When you think of someone named Punk Anderson, you think they're a teenager, 20s at most. But wow.
He's an old man named Punk Anderson.
That sounds like he belongs in the Journeyman. You know, that's kind of how a bunch of guys named in the Journeyman are. You know, like Tits Hanrahan and Lugs Harvey and Slut Millhouse.
Yeah, if you ever need to bring in an accordion player, you could do a lot worse than Punk Anderson.
That's right.
Bring him in. He was also, this is curious to me, he was in a movie called Girls Just Want to Have Fun from 1985.
I remember this.
You do?
Yeah.
Because as far as I can tell, it doesn't have anything to do with Cyndi Lauper's.
No, I don't believe it does, but do they at least play her song?
They better.
I never seen it, but I remember it.
I think if I put out a hit song with a title like that, and then somebody made a movie with the same title, I'd be ticked off. I'd say, write me a goddamn check.
Tell it to Michael Jackson in The Legend of Billie Jean.
Why should I do that?
Good question. He's dead.
Okay. I ain't going to do it. Sarah Jessica Parker was in Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Bunch of actors was in it. You've heard of it?
Sarah Jessica Parker? I have heard of it. Sure, yeah.
Okay.
I ain't seen it.
You ain't seen it. Another interesting thing about Morgan Woodward is his brother, Lee Woodward, was a much-loved weatherman on KOTV Tulsa with his puppet, King Lionel. Now, Tulsa, Oklahoma is prone to deadly tornadoes.
Sure.
I wouldn't want to hear about that from a goddamn puppet named King Lionel.
This is a mandatory evacuation order.
Yeah.
Last call.
Take cover. Well, I did find a clip of King Lionel on YouTube, of course, and he's not what you'd call an entertaining puppet. This is a, maybe you could hear about a tornado from
so
a puppet.
We're not going to hear Johnny Cash talk about him.
It's about the same level of whatever, but this is so this clip, I'd play more of it, but I don't understand what the hell's going on, but you'll see him here. He sits on a throne and he's got a crown, a little King Lionel, the puppet. Prior to this, they were talking about a boat. And then they was talking about a lady named Miss Olson, who he accuses of being a Nazi spy. But none of it makes any sense.
What? He literally
says that. He said, but I can't play it for you because it's nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. But then they, at some point, they ask him to do his impression of Joe, what's his baseball player who married
DiMaggio?
Mary. Yeah, Joe DiMaggio. So you'll hear that, and then they go right into the weather, and he does a fine job.
Wow.
Here we go. This is King Lionel from I don't know when on Tulsa, Oklahoma television.
King, don't you do Joe?
Do who?
Joe DiMaggio?
Hello. This is Joe DiMaggio. I have to work on that.
It's a different cup of coffee.
Got to work on the forecast, too, folks. Look here. Variable cloudiness with a 30% chance of shower through Friday. That's my kind of weather. Looks like, though, after Friday, we'll start warming up to good old summertime again.
King Lionel talking?
Right on through next Tuesday. If my eyes get any bigger, they're going to be homing in on them for a strike.
Here to tell you about
what could
large,
that mean?
White sail.
Well, just about everything that character says. My eyes get any bigger, they're going to be homing in on them for a strike.
Like an...
And then everybody laughs.
Airstrike or like
I don't
a
know.
Union strike?
I don't know.
What? Also, for the listeners, this is a little lion with a king crown and a throne.
Yep.
There was no synchronization between the sound and the movement of the mouth.
Nope.
To the point that I think maybe Lionel, King Lionel itself, is a really bad ventriloquist.
Oh. Yeah. Doing somebody else's voice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I like is when they throw to the graphic for the weather, it doesn't get specific about temperatures. It just says Tuesday, warm. Wednesday, hot. That's what it says on there.
Which means you get very little screen time of the puppet, which you would think would be the reason you're doing this in the first place.
Well, if you want more screen time of the puppet, I'll play you a little bit more, I guess. See if we can make head or tail of it. You also get to see. No.
Yeah. How would you act if Mrs. Olson?
Well, she's OD'd on caffeine. To
begin. Just hand her a cup of coffee.
Yeah, she just walked right in your house and said, "You took a pickle." You know, she's a Nazi spy from World War II.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, I'm a little worried that King Lionel's hitting the bottle a bit before.
Seems that way. That's King Lionel, very popular puppet. He's a little lion from KOTV in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
There must not have been a lot of puppet competition in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time.
That may be the case. Yeah, they had a dearth of puppeteers at that time.
Wow.
Well, okay, so that's those fun facts. Now, here's another. This may be, of all the fun facts, the funnest in a way. The one woman in this episode playing Mrs. Cameron, it was an actress by the name of Nancy Deal. And Nancy Deal, at that time that this episode was shot in, was the girlfriend of Lorne Greene.
Come on.
Later, they used to go on and get married and stay married until death did them part in the form of Lorne Greene dying. But this is here, their boyfriend and girlfriend. You believe that?
So their boyfriend and girlfriend prior to this? Or this?
I was hoping we were seeing them meeting, but no, they already was together. And she turns out she was pestering him all the time. Get me an audition, goddammit.
You know this for a fact?
This is her own account. She was saying, get me an audition for Bonanza. And instead they offered her this part. She didn't have to audition, but she was disappointed in the role, she would later say, because she wanted to play a bad girl.
Oh, you know, she wasn't bad.
She was fine.
Yeah.
She's, I think, the first person in the history of this show to react realistically to a loved one being shot in front of her. She screamed for a good long while.
Isn't it also ironic that she survives being Lorne Greene's real wife where every one of Ben Cartwright's wives dies?
Isn't that interesting? Yes. He says, let's not kill this one, boys.
Yeah.
Well, and what else did I learn about her? Well, she didn't have much of an acting career after this. She pretty much stopped acting. And then I was like, what else happened to her in the rest of her life? And it's so sad. I found this article from when she died.
This better not end with her eating Alpo.
Oh, brother. This is so sad. When you think about a person who at one time in her life was a guest star on an episode of Bonanza.
Married to Lorne Greene.
That is, but the high point to be a guest star on Bonanza and then listen to the sad things that happened to her when her acting career ended. This is Nancy Deal Green, a foreign policy consultant and the widow of Bonanza star, died cancer. Green co-founded the National Women's Political Caucus and in 1972 was an advisor to Senator Hubert Humphrey on national defense issues and women's rights. A year later, she was appointed to the Democratic Party's National Task Force on U.S.-Soviet Relations and later served as an advisor to Senator Henry Jackson. In the mid-70s, she founded the Women's Institute of International Relations, a private foundation formed to educate women on military and foreign policy issues and to support their professional participation at U.S. foreign policy institutions. She was a member of the Center for Arms Control and Foreign Policy and served as vice president of the American Civil Defense Association. How sad is that?
That's tragic.
It's a tragic end for somebody to come to from the height of a guest star role on Bonanza.
Oh, I don't know whose idea it was to put her in there, but... How the mighty have fallen.
How the mighty have fallen.
My heart cries out for her.
Can you imagine her sitting there as vice president of the American Civil Defense Association saying, I was once on Bonanza.
People she just was wiping married away. To Lauren Green.
Well, anyway, that happened to her. So that's her on there.
Wow.
Well, them's all the fun facts for this episode. You ready to get into talking about the episode itself?
Yeah.
It was a damn fine.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One. This episode, what's it called again?
Death at Dawn.
Death at, no, that's not what it's called, is it?
No.
Yeah, you're right. Death at Dawn. It opens, as so many episodes of Bonanza do, with an establishing shot of Virginia City,
yeah,
wherein a Native American is fighting over a jug of booze with a white man. This is, and there's a Chinese fella with a basket full of laundry walking across the road. It's this is just happening. This exact same tableau plays itself out day after day.
Does it make you think like there's a Groundhog Day thing going on in Virginia City?
Something, because it's the same for sure. It's the same people doing the same things every time.
Sheriff Ned Ryerson. Never mind.
Yep, they're having a time loop problem in Virginia City, but that's not what the episode concerns itself with. That's just a side issue. So now we got Joe Cartwright's walking through town. He bumps into three jerks, and they're about to start a fight, but Ben intervenes. He says, don't fight these three because there's six others on the other side of the road ready to back them up. So now we know there's some kind of out-of-control contingent of jerks in Virginia City.
Yeah.
Starting troubles.
We got ourselves a mob.
It's a mob. And then one of them, a fellow by the name of Farmer Perkins, is sidling up to the counter in the Cameron's Dry Goods Store and whatnot, Mercantile. And he's got some kind of beef. Oh, I see. He wants money from Mr. Cameron. And Mr. Cameron won't give it to him. And he just, without even hesitating, just fires on him, shoots him dead right there.
So as to say, this episode wants to get to the heart of the matter, despite any kind of character or believability.
Right.
And I appreciate it, because they appreciate get right it too. To it.
It's rare that you have a cold-blooded murder in the first minute of a television show.
Yeah.
Here, three cheers. And that's when his widow, now she's just been widowed, screams bloody murder. Man, oh man, she did not like seeing her husband get gunned down right in front of her like that.
Don't make me serve on committees for nuclear regulation and women's rights.
Exactly. That's what she's crying out for. And in runs Joe and Hoss, and they get involved in the mix. Well, it's obvious what's happened. All that's in there is a lady crying over her dead husband and one other fella. It's the other fella that shot him, right?
Sure.
But he's very confident. He says, no, I didn't do it, blah, blah, blah. You can't prove nothing. And he's extremely confident for a man who's dead to rights on a murder charge.
Right.
Right. But then we go to opening credits. We come back. We're back in the store. The wife is still grieving. Oh, maybe I skipped over. Who cares? The sheriff comes into Cameron's, and it takes him. And now we're at the sheriff's office, and Perkins, he is sauntering and strutting and giggling. You've never seen such a confident man about anything in all your life.
Oh, he's a real cock of the walk, this fella.
He's got no doubts he's going to get out of trouble. But he struts right into the cell, he gets locked up, and in comes Sam Bryant. This guy's got a big fat wad of cash, and he's a big fat man, and he's going to peel off a bunch of money for the sheriff to get his boy, Farmer Perkins, out of the cell. And if there's going to be a trial, well, he's going to bribe the circuit judge, too. The circuit judge is in town. And then he calls the Cartwrights outsiders because the Cartwrights are there and they're middling. They're saying, nobody, they're goddamn murder and there's going to be justice and so on. And he calls them outsiders. And then there's a musical sting. You don't call the goddamn Cartwrights outsiders.
Well, not without a musical sting.
Not without a shock. Now we're in the hearing room. It just happens. The circuit judge is in town.
They're getting to it.
They're getting right down to it.
By the way, you should mention, all that you've heard happens in the first 5 seconds.
It's incredible. This episode is just, you can't take your eyes off it for a second. The sheriff, we got now, it's an absolute zoo in there. And it's all men. There's not a woman in sight in the courtroom. No. It's a lot of spectators. There's a fellow with a spectacular blonde beard. And there's a bunch of these Sam Bryant mob members. And they're just, it's like a bunch of school children. They're going crazy.
Hooting and hollering.
Hooting and hollering. And Perkins is giggling away and having a good time there on the witness stand. But the one person that didn't come is the actual goddamned eyewitness to the shooting, Mrs. Cameron.
She's scared,
damn it. She just saw her husband die hours ago. Not going to come down there to this goddamn zoo of a courtroom. But the Joe and Hoss testify, but they can't. They can only say so much. They did not see the shot get fired.
Right.
Good Lord. So now we're back at the sheriff's office, and we understand that Bryant was hired to keep the miners in line here in this mining town. And so he brought in all these heavies, these toughs, to do it. But now it's gone out of control. He's taken over the whole damn town, does whatever he wants. Right?
Right.
Now this is when Ben says he's going to get Mrs. Cameron to testify. Now I'm going to show you this scene now because now that you know that the two of them was fucking, you're going to see it in this scene. Well, he goes over to talk to her and he's just trying to convince her to testify, and you could see it. You could just see the subtext of this scene is, we was just fucking in my trailer and we're going to do it.
Because they ain't married in real life. Married. So you know the honeymoon's still on.
Oh, big time.
Oh, yep. Boy.
Humping and bumping every damn day. Here we go.
My husband tried to stand up to Sam Bryant and they killed him. And if I try to stand up to them, they'll kill me. Is that what you want?
No, of course not.
Oh,
and it won't happen. Suppose my sons and I promise to protect you. Would you testify then?
Can you promise to protect all of Virginia City? And the judge? Can you promise to keep Perkins in jail, that he won't go free or break out and come after us?
All right, Mrs. Cameron. Let's just say that your husband died for nothing.
Yeah, I remember that being a little brutal.
Pretty harsh. Your husband died for nothing. So long, old lady.
Did they have children?
Oh, did the two of them have
children? Man, what a set of eyebrows that kid must have had.
They are two eyebrowed people, are they not? Yeah, okay. Get a load of this. This is a fun fact. He and his second wife, Nancy Deal, had one child who is married to the director, Sam Raimi.
Jesus.
Yeah. Believe that? God damn.
I got to look her up and check out my theory on the eyebrows.
Oh, yes.
Please hold.
Jillian Dania Green is her name. Jillian Dania Green. She's gone. Now, I believe there is the technology for some women to pluck out some of their eyebrows. So, you don't know.
She's a very fetching looking woman.
Okay.
And she's got bangs, so it's a little hard.
Oh, smart. That's what she said. She took one look at her mother and her father, and she said, I'm going to be a bangs person.
Unless those aren't bangs, and that's how tall her eyebrows
are. God damn. Can you imagine that? Her eyebrows go up and over her whole head,
yeah.
Down halfway down her back.
I guess they're standard, but I think maybe they've been a little touched up, and that's, God,
sure.
More power to her. I'm just curious.
How about those people that have their eyebrows permanently removed and then the tattoo on eyebrows?
Yeah, that's a real.
You
got to stick with the style.
If I was a tattoo artist, the only thing I would do is eyebrows. See, that's it. Come here for eyebrows. I'd put them anywhere on your body you want. That's all I do.
I'd do just beards.
Yeah, just beards. All right, so now that's happened, and I don't know if I want to tell you everything that happens in this whole episode, but basically, the back at the courthouse? No. And, oh, what happened? The judge let Perkins go at the end of that.
Lack of evidence.
Yeah, lack of evidence.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. But now our heroes come up with a plan. They rearrest Perkins.
Right.
They arrest him at the saloon, and they take him back to trial because now Mrs. Cameron's going to testify because it worked. Old Ben persuaded Beth Cameron to testify, so she does. And she makes it clear that, yeah, there's a protection racket going on in town, that her husband wouldn't pay the protection racket money, and that's why they killed him. And that's it. Perkins is found guilty. He's to be hanged at dawn.
5 a.m., and they're going to build a gallows especially for him. You'd think they'd just have one kind of ready to go.
I know. And what are they going to do after they hang him? Are they going to take the gallows apart and then build another one next time they need to hang somebody?
Yeah, good question. I mean, that is very optimistic to say that's the last hanging. Don't worry. Mankind is turned a new leaf. They're not going to do anything bad. Uh-oh.
Well, because I guess when you think about it on the other side of it, if you used to keep a gallows up all the time, you're saying we fully expect there to be more murders.
Go ahead.
We're ready for you. Go ahead and commit murders, and then we'll take care of you because we've got the gallows. We have the infrastructure for it. As a matter of fact, it'd be a waste of space if you didn't commit a murder. So please, if we can get one murder a month at least, this thing will have justified itself to be built.
We're talking to you, letterboxed. You murderer.
Get to murdering. That's kind of nice. You know, if you're going to be hanged in the city of Virginia City, it is a made to order gallows.
Yeah. You're getting your own bespoke gallows because they even cut the rope to fit his height.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. So that's nice. But on the downside of it, they're building it in the sort of courtyard of the jail right next to your cell. So the night before you're to be hanged, it's just all night long hammering away at your gallows.
You don't get any sleep.
You get no sleep.
I'm curious. Do you think those condemned to die the night before can't sleep because they're so nervous? Or is there a little bit of like, well, I'm fucked. Might as well get a nice night of sleep. Or I don't want to sleep because I want all the life I got left.
Boy, what would you do if you knew you was condemned to die in the morning? Would you say to yourself, I'm going to stay up all night and just soak up life, or I'd like to go to the gallows well-rested?
I think I couldn't sleep out of nerves.
Really?
So it'd be a bad night, but I wouldn't sleep.
I think I would sleep like a baby.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
God bless you.
Yep, I think I would. Yep, I think, well, but intentionally to do it to fuck with the heads of my jailers.
Nice.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, that's good.
So they came in and looked at me and said, that son of a bitch is sleeping like a baby.
He must be innocent.
Yeah,
right. Let's cancel the whole thing.
They'd have no choice but to let me go. Yeah, right. A guilty man wouldn't sleep like that. Right? All right. Well, now, what do we got here? We got Ben and the judge. This was a completely unnecessary scene and conversation between Ben and the judge at the stagecoach. Why?
Good question.
No reason to have that there.
They could have put a little bit of this time into the beginning where he decides to shoot that fella.
That's true. They could have built up to it a little more. But here's these two. Hey, how you doing? What, you taking the stage out? Yep, going to be here in a minute. Well, all right. I guess I'll wait. No, don't wait for me. I'll be fine. You can get on back your business. You sure? Yep, all right. All right. Well, have a good one. We'll see you in about a month. I'll be back. Yep, just like always. Come back in about a month. See what's going on then. Oh, here comes the stage. All righty. She whiz. And then Ben takes off all by himself.
Yeah.
And when he's all alone in the quiet of a Virginia City street, he is set upon by three thugs.
Yeah.
They knock him out and they bring him to the old stable where old Sam Bryant is in there with a couple of other henchmen. And then Bryant writes a letter. And his plan is he throws the letter on the gallows where they're building it. And the letter says, basically, if you hang my fella Farmer Perkins, I'm going to hang Ben Cartwright's what I'm going to do.
Right.
Okay. So now this is, they got all kinds of problems. Hoss comes up with a smart plan. He says, I tell you what, let's pretend we didn't read the note. And then they'll have to come by and drop us off a second note.
There's an element of chance to that idea alone.
Yeah. Well, they don't know what to do. I mean, God, if they knew where Ben Cartwright was being held, they'd storm in there and rescue him.
Right.
But they don't know where he is. Is the
they says, Hoss says, let's wait and see if another messenger brings a second note.
And then we'll follow that messenger. Because we didn't know we was going to get a note from the first one. So he delivered the note and ran off. And we don't know where he went to. But now we're going to know a second note is coming. Because what are you going to do? If you send a note and you get no response.
And you see they're still building the gallows.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, still building the gallows. And you say, well, now something's gone wrong. I guess what happened? They didn't see that. They didn't read the note. Where'd you put the note? I threw it right on the gallows like you told me to.
Oh, no, they hanged the note.
They're going to get Brett Singbrier a second note. Now, this one, you know it's coming, and you can follow the note deliverer back to your father. Hoss comes up with that. Now, when Hoss is coming up with your plans, it's trouble. It's just, if he's the smartest one in the room, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's the proof is that this plan goes sideways.
It goes sideways real fast. That sure enough, fella comes along, and he nails a new note to the front door this time. He says, that's smarter. And he goes. And they try to follow him, but it's the sheriff, Sheriff Biggs, who follows too noisily.
And now the real tragedy here is this is the reluctant sheriff. And he's no coward, but he's very pragmatic. And at multiple times says, I'm willing to work and deputize you and work with you.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to know that you have a plan because otherwise we're just being stupid here.
That's right.
And then he's the one that gets shot by this fella.
Yeah. Most of the time, the sheriff is kind of like, look, I'm all alone here. I don't have any deputies and I'm tired anyway. And look at the way my hair is parted down the middle and greased down. It's like embarrassing. And I don't want to do my job. But okay. But when push comes to shove, he says, I'm the sheriff. I'll follow that man.
Does he die?
No.
He doesn't die. I know he doesn't die. But he might as well, because
the character never comes back. But he does get shot. And then if you get shot on Bonanza and they say, you know, let's get him to a doctor, then you didn't die. I don't know.
Right. He got reincarnated into a deputy for later use.
That's what happened. Okay. Yeah. But then you have Joe. Little Joe does a somersault.
That was a hell of a little shootout there.
It was good.
That's part of what made this the best episode of Bonanza I ever seen.
Yeah. We got the gunman down at the end of the alleyway, and Little Joe comes across, and he does a somersault because you can't shoot a somersaulting man.
You cannot.
There's no way to do it. And then when he lands at the end of that somersault, he fires a shot.
He does a rapid fire. He does that thing where he hammers back, you know, with the single action revolver, you got to pull that hammer back each time, then pull the trigger.
Oh.
But if you depress the trigger, keep it held, you can fan your hand back. You've seen a gunman do that.
Sure, sure. I've done it myself.
Sure.
That's how I take down a werewolf.
Oh, you got it.
God damn right.
But he does that right after a somersault.
Gosh, son of a bitch.
And was that was really Michael Landon?
I think it was, yeah.
Jesus, I have a whole new respect for him. He does deserve to drive the highway to heaven.
Hell yeah. Goddamn Michael Landon. He's doing his own. And by the way, later he does a gratuitous, well, he's done this before, gratuitous pistol flips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When he's done holding his gun on somebody, he flips his pistol back into his pocket.
They ought to call him Michael Sticks the Landon.
Michael Sticks the Landon. That's what he is. 10.0 from the Russian judge. Well, all right, so now that all that shit's happened, that's it. That plan, they don't know where their paw is. But this is when Adam, now we got the real brains, wakes up. He says, okay, well, wait a minute. Maybe we don't do the plan of the dumbest guy ever on television. Maybe we do my plan. And this is real. I mean, this is
not until Sloth from Goonies has there been dumber guy.
Dumbest. But this is real. I mean, this is like a logic pretzel. It's counterintuitive. Okay, because what Sam Bryan has said is, if you hang Perkins, I will hang Ben. And Adam says, no, actually it's the opposite. If we hang Perkins, he won't hang Paul. If we don't hang Perkins, he will hang Paul. And when he explains it, it kind of makes it kind of a sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's playing to the psyche of a murderer. Now, we should mention these hangings are going to happen at 5 a.m. at dawn.
Yeah.
So as the title goes. Right. They've only got a couple hours left.
Right, that's right.
This is a ticking clock. This isn't a few days before. This is happening.
It's coming up. Yeah, right, exactly. All right, so that's their plan. They say, hell's bells, we're going to go ahead and hang them at 5 a.m. and see what happens. And, you know, there's a lot of debate, and people aren't quite sure Adam's got the right idea here. Now, how is it that McNeil comes to be over at the jailhouse? He's crazy. Turns out old Sam Bryan has two henchmen. One of them is Norton, and Norton says, hey, I don't like this anymore. I'm leaving, son of a bitch. But McNeil is true blue, and he's very excited to hang Pa Cartwright, and he's confident that Perkins is going to be let out. And
that his boss is going to be as evil as he says he's going to be.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. You said you was going to do something evil. You better do it.
And tough.
But I don't remember why it is that McNeil is at the jailhouse, but he's there when the noose snaps tight on Perkins.
And they do not hesitate. Come 5 a.m. on the dot.
5 on the dot.
Clackety clack.
Yeah. I like the way they shot that. They just have Adam standing there, and then a wood trap door swings into view, and that's it.
Oh, that's a good episode.
It's real good. So that's it. Perkins has been hung, and he is dead. And McNeil can't believe it. He's mad. I think Joe apprehends him or something. And then all of a sudden, Sam Bryant, toughest guy in town, shows up with Ben Cartwright. And even before that, McNeil is like, well, now your father's going to get hung. He's at the old stable.
He's already hung because he thinks he would have been at 5 a.m.
5 a.m.? Yeah, they hung him. And so everybody's going to run to the old stable to try and save Ben Cartwright's life. But then here comes Sam Bryan and Ben Cartwright down the middle of the street. And Sam Bryan, just like a little boy, he said, look, I brought him up. I didn't do it. Nobody's got been hurt. Sorry. Here, look, I'm giving him his gun back. It worked just like Adam said, like a
sure
dream.
Sure did. But that they didn't count on is McNeil. Oh,
they didn't count on McNeil being disappointed in his boss.
Called him a coward.
Grabbed a rifle and fired a shot. And Ben Cartwright hits the dirt like he's been shot. And then he fires another shot. And Sam Bryan hits the dirt like he's been shot. Except he has. And Ben hasn't.
Yeah.
Ben's just fine. And that's the end of that episode. What happened?
Oh, no. Because then McNeil. Well, first of all, he does a great little thing where he grabs one of the townsfolk's guns.
Yeah.
And then swats another guy's rifle down with his almost like a sword.
Oh, yeah.
Then he shoots at them. And then all three Cartwright boys skin their smoke wagons and shoot up McNeil.
They do.
Dies
they
right
fill
there.
Them full of bullets.
Yeah.
Goddamn. Whoo! That is it. That ends one of the most exciting episodes of this show ever.
What a season.
No, unbelievable. Finale. What a journey it's been.
I understand why they saved this one for last.
Yeah. They says, you know what? We're going to make people salivate all summer long. Now, it is interesting that their season ended on April 30th. That's a bit early for a season of television to end, don't you think?
Yeah.
I guess
they must have just wanted to celebrate David Miscavige's birthday.
I suppose.
Summer long?
I wonder if the day that David Miscavige was born, if there was three wise men who showed up at the hospital to be party to it.
Three Western wise brothers.
So the Cartwrights had to get themselves there for that. I don't know. I'm not saying it as a fact. I'm speculating. Yeah. Wait a minute. Bonanza. I'm going to look up Bonanza. You know why? Because I want to know, when did season 2 premiere? Because can you imagine now, you've just watched this episode. It's April 30th, 1960. The National Barn Dance Radio Show has aired its last episode. That's gone for good.
You might not even know if Bonanza's coming back.
Yeah, you might not. And, you're dancing to Elvis Presley, and you're going to see Don't Eat the Daisies again.
You're also listening to Kenny Rogers.
Singing All Shook Up. No, Stuck on You, season 2. Oh my, hey, good news, season 2 has 34 episodes.
Oh boy.
You gotta wait until goddamn September the 10th.
Holy shit.
For season 2, episode 1.
So did they do reruns back then? So would they rerun this season up until season 2?
I hope so.
I feel like they didn't back then, but I could be wrong.
God. Wow, that's a long damn time to wait. But folks, you're not going to have to wait that long.
No, good Lord,
we wouldn't do that to you.
No.
When is this coming? It's June. We're not even going to make you wait June to September. We're going to be back. You know, how does it work? Every 3 weeks we do one of these?
That's right. Now, something did occur to me today.
Yeah, okay.
You know how we got all the numbers all lined up and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Well, not so far down the road is Hoss and the Leprechauns.
Oh, is it? Is that right?
We've already covered that.
No, we haven't. We haven't covered that.
You're absolutely right. I apologize and I wish to recant.
We haven't covered that at all.
We were on a podcast that covered it.
Oh, yes. We were the guests on some podcast from Ireland where they talked about
Don't listen to it.
Those sons of bitches.
We'll cover it as planned.
Bunch of fools. Yeah, we're going to cover. Is it not too far down the road?
It's season 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
So about 15 years probably from
now. Yeah, we're almost there. Well, all right, folks. That's an episode of Bananas for Bonanza and an episode of Bonanza and a season of Bonanza.
Wow, they said it couldn't be done.
Who did? Who said what?
Scott Aukerman.
Oh, yeah, he did, right? That son of a bitch.
Yeah, but he said it couldn't be done, like I'm not going to let you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But here we are doing it, and you're hearing it somehow.
Yeah.
So, next week, we'll be back with the bonus Nanas.
Right.
I'm going to go down to the P.O. box. I keep getting emails from the post office telling me there's more and more stuff in your P.O. box. You got to come down here. No, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, did you know that? Because I also get emails. Now, I get a lot of emails from the post office as a man who owns a P.O. box.
Yeah.
One of the things I've learned is that the post office has a podcast. Did you know that?
Are you serious?
I am serious. United States Postal Service has a podcast. It's called Mailin' It. And I can't think of a better name for a podcast for the United States Postal Service.
Yeah, I guess.
Damn good. And I'll just throw this out as a public service.
Make one quick correction.
All right.
Mailed It.
Oh, maybe that is what it's called.
Oh, okay.
No, I think it is Mailing It. Yeah, that could be Mailed It. Is it Mailed It? Let's find out. But I'll just throw this out there as a service to anybody out there who has trouble sleeping.
Have you listened?
No, it's called Mailing It. Yeah, oh, I listened to it. Sure, I did. The episode I listened to was about international mail. And I believe they were talking about United States Postal Service locations in other countries. You know what I mean?
Is it informative and or have hosts of personality? Is it funny?
Probably when these hosts are in their regular lives not doing the podcast, they do have personalities. But they do multiple interviews with the Postmaster General on this thing. He pops in from time to time.
Will it
still have that Louis DeJoy man?
He's still the fella.
Yeah.
The charlatan Postmaster General.
Yes. They've interviewed him a couple times.
I bet he probably started this up. Says, interview me a bunch. I'm in that world, so I want to be known.
Right.
Fuck.
But I'm telling you, if you have difficulty sleeping, put on this podcast and you'll be out like a light.
That's good words of advice.
All right. Check that out. And we'll see you next week for a bonus Nana for bonus Nanjas.
Bye now.
So long.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gourley. Theme song by Matt Gourley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris, and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gourley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Aukerman. We'll see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.